So the land use change that I'm interested in the Florida Panhandle is the conversion of pine flatwoods and temperate hardwood forest into pine plantations and urban forests. My study area is located near Apalachicola in the Panhandle of Florida. Florida has experienced a 75% increase in population growth in the last 30 years, and the Gulf Coast region was considered a hotspot of population growth in 2004. My study sites are located near and within Apalachicola and East Point. The area around these two cities is forested, and the topography is relatively flat. The soils are very sandy and nutrient poor. Fire historically has been a major disturbance in this area and a main driver of nutrient recycling within this system. And as we see fires suppressed, especially in urban areas, decomposition becomes more important in nutrient cycling. The land uses or land covers that we're interested in studying are naturally regenerated forests, and I'm going to shorten that to natural forests, that have either a pine or an oak-dominated canopy. We're also interested in slash pine plantations and urban forests that are either pine or oak dominated. Urban forests are forest fragments that are within vacant lots within both Apalachicola and East Point. Are those different land use categories that we're interested in studying are blocks on drainage from very poorly drained to moderately well drained. And this took me, I've done most of my soils work out in the West, so coming out to this area was very surprising because very small changes in elevation in this very flat landscape can equal big changes in your drainage, which equal big changes in your soil types and in your plant communities that you find there. So we have 17 sites total that we are studying across five different forest land uses and four different possible drainages. The oak land uses have four sites per land use, ranging across the full range of drainages, and the pine sites just have three sites per land uses. The moderately well-drained sites are xeric forests that are oak-dominated. So the questions we're interested in answering with my study is, does land use change impact decomposition rates? And so our hypotheses are that urban forests will have a slower decomposition rate than natural forests. And this is based on some previous research that has found urban forest foliar litter has lower litter qualities than natural forests. And we also expected that our pine plantation decomposition rates would be slower in natural forests, and this is also based on some thoughts about the litter quality in each of these land uses. The second question that we're interested in looking at is, does land use change impact nitrogen and phosphorus immobilization and mineralization patterns in the decomposing litter? So in order to answer some of these questions, we set up a decomposition study across those 17 sites. So we collected litter fall this past fall and winter, and both traps and tarps on the sites. And we brought back that litter to the lab and air dried it and put 10 grams of the air dried litter into litter bags. And the species mix that is within that litter bag reflects what we found in the litter fall traps. And the species composition mix then actually varies between sites. So we included popsicle sticks across all the sites as a common substrate to look at decomposition across all the sites. So on March of this year, I brought 20 bags, litter fall bags, and 20 popsicle stick bags to each of my sites. And so far I have made 7 collections up to 28 weeks since March. Each time I make a collection, I bring 2 litter bags back and 2 popsicle stick bags back. And I have 3 more collections to make. When I bring those bags back to the lab, they're oven dried and then ground and analyzed for carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus. So here are some of my data. This is all preliminary. It's up through week 18. So on our y-axis is mass remaining, and our x-axis is up through week 18. And this is for our oak sites, looking at decomposition over time. And we found that there was, for natural forest oaks, that there's a 0.9% mass loss per week. And then for urban forest oak sites, there's a 1.3% mass loss per week. And there is an urban effect. The urban sites have an increase in mass loss per week of 0.4% for the oak sites. And looking at our pine sites, again, we have mass remaining over through the first 18 weeks of our decomposition study. Both the natural forest pine and pine plantation sites lost around 0.6% of their mass every week, and the urban sites lost about 1% mass loss per week. And I'm sorry, I forgot to mention this is based on linear regression of all our data across time. In our pine sites, we also saw an urban effect. We saw urban sites had an increase in mass loss per week of 0.4% from our natural sites and our pine plantation sites. The natural forest sites, pine-dominated and pine plantation sites, didn't have any difference in decomposition mass over time. So one thing that's interesting to keep in mind, we're really glad that we see an impact of urban because actually it's been very dry at these sites, and you can really see this. This is the popsicle stick data. You can really see this on this data set that there was very little mass loss on the popsicle sticks from week 0 to week 12, which represents from March to June because there was very low rainfall at these sites. And finally, between week 12 and week 18, there was some rainfall in July. So we can start seeing some effects of microclimate starting to break out. But right now, it's too early to tell. And that is an effect of drought on these sites this past spring and summer. So here we are getting into our nutrient data of our litter bags over time. This is percent phosphorus remaining over time. And we really see that these, and this is our pine sites, they're dominated by immobilization of phosphorus within the litter. And the starred sites, the starred points are actually points that had a significantly higher mass than compared to 100. So pine sites are a trend dominated by immobilization. I didn't include my oak sites, but they all ranged right around 100 for the 18 weeks. And here's our nitrogen remaining over time. Quite different from our phosphorus data, it was dominated by mineralization. At week 4, all of the land uses had significantly lower than 100% nitrogen remaining in the litter. And this is really interesting because typically you see some mineralization in these beginning stages of decomposition, but typically it's dominated by immobilization. And we're seeing a bit of a different trend here in our sites. So for preliminary conclusions, through week 18, urban forests have a significant increase in decomposition rate compared to natural forests. And we will see how this trend continues as we collect data over the next year. Also through week 18, phosphorus shows a strong mobilization pattern, especially in the pine sites, compared to mineralization of N, which indicates that these sites are more limited by phosphorus than they are by nitrogen. And again, though, this is a trend that we see during a drought situation. And I would like to thank my funding. It comes from two different sources, the Center of Forest Sustainability, which is at Auburn University, and through the U.S. Forest Service. Thank you so much.
We have plenty of time for questions for Heather. How about some questions? John?
Yeah. So you found the opposite of what you thought you were going to find, that the urban...
Yes.
And do you think that were you able to look at the litter to see if it really did was poor quality, and maybe this is more hydrological or some other component to what's going on that's increasing the decomposition?
Okay, so we did block by, maybe make sure I understand your question as I go along. So we did block by drainage, and that was included in my linear regression model. And so there is an effect of drainage on decomposition with wetter sites decomposing a little faster than drier sites. And so that effect of urbanization has that drainage effect taken into account.
And wetter sites decompose faster?
Yes, they did.
Is that because in an urban, there may be a lot of water at one time, but then it goes away very quickly?
Oh, so it's the poorly drained sites across all land use classifications.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's not a measurement of the hydrograph, for example.
No, I don't know if I understand your question, but I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. I think that's right.
But
yeah.
Could it just be that they have some moisture, and so the microbes and so forth are active then, and the drier sites
are... Oh, I think I see what you're saying. So I do have, across each of the land uses, a range of the drainages. So that should be accounted for in the urban effect. What you're trying to see is why are urban sites decomposing a little faster across all the drainages compared to all the drainages
right. For
the natural sites. I'm sorry. I don't know why I didn't quite understand that. And yeah, there could be some sort of effect of, we tried to make sure that all of our canopy closure was the same across all these sites. And we We do have temperature data for all the sites, which I have not analyzed yet. So we were wondering if the urban sites may have a temperature effect in there too that's not on your natural sites. The forest floors within these urban sites are a little thicker because of the lack of fire in these systems, and that may also keep a little bit more moisture within each of the sites. I hope that answers some of your questions.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
still trying to pick apart some of this data.
Sure, I get that you're still in the middle of this. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, but it's a good question. Thank you.
In the back.
So you lost about half of the nitrogen in 4 weeks and then gained it all back by 8 weeks, is that right?
18 weeks, yes.
So what are the mechanisms for that, right, the boss?
I know, that's a...
How did it come back so fast when this is all still in drought?
Yeah, except for that the last time period between week 12 and week 18. So, yes, what happened to that nitrogen? I've been wondering about that because it wouldn't have been lost through leaching. And there has been very little mass loss within the bags. So that is an excellent question, and I really haven't thought through it all. I would imagine, though, that it was being gradually brought back up based on colonization of primarily fungi into these litter bags. So I'm sorry, I don't think I have a good answer to your question. I need to think about it some more, but that's an excellent question. I don't know where that nitrogen went. Maybe the little bit of rain that they did have actually did move it out of the litter, and then it was brought back in as microbes colonized as it became a little bit more moist.
How about the carbon-nitrogen ratios?
Of the initial quality? Of the
over time.
Oh, well, I haven't looked at those yet. We would expect to see them become a little bit lower as they go with time, but I haven't looked at that.
And then, what kind of wood is the popsicle sticking in?
Oh, it's birch, and
okay.
It's untreated.
Okay, all right, I was wondering if it was maple.
Yeah, and this is something that Dr. Lockerbie has included on several other studies. And it is very interesting to look at these popsicle sticks as they come back, just the different fungus that are growing on them.
Are other questions for Heather?
Very good. Thank you.